Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Community Garden Revolution. We've got a jam-packed show today. Action. I mean action. Lots going on. And we're going to be talking to, of course, the All-America Selections folks, Diane Blasek, who's the executive director. We're going to be having Casey Tomato. He's going to be in the house. And then also I wanted to tell you about the new designs from the Ball people. It's the Jardin Home Brands, but it's the Ball collection, and also the Kerr people. They sent me some new items that are out. Of course, we've got them covered there in the magazine issue from March that's coming out, I believe, today. Once it's approved, it comes out and ready to be on www.magzter.com, M-A-G-Z-T-E-R.com, in the health section. Got to check it out. But anyway, so we got a shipment, and we're just always so glad when the different folks send us a little bit of a shipment so we can tell you all. Of course, you know, we cover it in our magazine all the time. And this is one of my favorite companies because my mom and a good friend of hers for many years, until the lady died of cancer, they used to, once or twice a year, get together, spread out the kitchen table. Everybody had to be gone. It was that kind of doings. And they would go ahead and laugh and cackle so much. We would be in different rooms or outside. And they would can or freeze things, but mostly it was canning. And we always used the Ball mason jars. We had them of different sizes. And we had a special shelf that was in the laundry room for our different edibles. And, of course, during the wintertime, you just couldn't beat it with a stick. Couldn't beat it with a stick. So basically what they've got, we love these. These are wide mouth. They're the Ball sharing jars. And you can put that with a little bit of a tag to somebody. Puts like the outside of the container has a bunch of peaches inside. Then it has a little card on the outside. I'm salivating. And it's great for gift giving. We're going to go ahead and keep them out for decoration right at the time. And I think Mom's going to put pennies in one of them. But we're going to keep them out for decoration at the time because at Christmas time we give different baked goods to our friends inside of boxes and try to, you know, make it kind of fun that they can sift through the box and see the different containers of what has like fudge in it or cookies or peanut brittle. We do caramel candies and then a few other things too, you know, like sugar cookies and so on. And we have chocolates, all kinds of chocolates from different places. So that's what we do. And then, of course, if it's a relative, we put in a Christmas gift. We put in tea, cocoa. You know, there are just so many things, funny gifts we've put in that before, too. But these are delightful. They're 4 32-ounce wide mouth. This calls the Collection Elite Design Series. And it does remind you about Feeding America and help donate to them. The Ball Collection, which is the Collection Elite, has also a new one out that we really liked. It's an amber color. It's a new one, folks, amber. And that's kind of like a light brownish kind of color, whatever. And the reason why it's so good, because we got two different sizes that he sent us. Let me see what this is. 16-ounce and 32-ounce. Cute sizes. Cute sizes. We were impressed. The thing with amber jars is that it blocks 99% of the harmful UV rays, you know, from the sun, which can help maintain the flavor, fragrance, and the nutrients of foods, herbs, and spices. That's the amber jars that they're now putting out with the Ball Collection, the Elite Series. I'm telling you, these are top-notch. We have seen their things over the years. I always like the blue ones. That's my favorite, that the clear ones. We have seen these products over the years, folks, and it is just amazing what they're coming out with now because they want to be up to date. They want to provide you with all kinds of options, the whole thing. But they're also thinking about the people that want to give some good gifts. And like I said before, my mom and her friend, they used to can all the time. I mean, anything, everything. If we grew it in the garden, they just go out and scan it and see if they can can it. I didn't mean for that to be a poem kind of thing, but that was kind of cute. But bottom line, they wanted to make sure that they used fresh items. Sometimes they put a little grosgrain ribbon at the top. Sometimes they put like a little cloth ribbon. Back in the day in the 70s, that was real popular. And so they give it to people for gifts. And it'd be someone maybe at church, or it'd be someone that did something nice to them, you know, like the beautician. Mom always likes to give something to the beautician. And sometimes some of our doctors, because we always want them to feel that we appreciate what they do to help keep us good and healthy as best as possible in different phases of life. So that's what we do. That's how we roll. We're just so excited, and we say thank you to those people that are the www.freshpreserving.com. That's www.freshpreserving.com. You can see a whole catalog of either the books, recipes. They've got all kinds of different mason jar sizes. When I go to the stores in our town in the last 2 years, I've seen a big uptick in what the space has been on the shelves for these particular products, and I'm very, very excited and thrilled that more people are taking the time to can and hopefully freeze also their items. We freeze items all the time. That's how I made vegetable soup this past week. It was awesome, I'm telling you. I just went through the freezer and through the refrigerator, and I call it kitchen soup, because I just throw in whatever I've got. But we had some really good items that we've kept. And we do this every fall. We go ahead and make sure that we've got some stuff that's freezable and put it in there. And the canning, we want to get back into doing more of that. My mom and her friend did it for many years. And it's always exciting to talk to the people there at freshpreserving.com or the Balker people. They're all the same thing. They have different manufacturing plants across the nation. And we're just so delighted that they thought about us to be able to send such a neat package to me. I appreciate that. They appreciate what we're doing. And let's keep on pushing the canning and preserving thing. And I think the American Community Gardening Association, because I gave them my contacts, they're trying to see if there can be some kind of connection with them to possibly help push more people to do canning and preserving and to realize that going back to the basics isn't all that bad. So it's exciting times for people, and we're hoping that everyone does take the time to do some canning and preserving, and we're just so delighted to have them aboard. We're going to be right back with the folks there at the All-America Selections here in a moment. You're listening to Community Garden Revolution, and my name is Mary. You're here today. I'm Mary Huckel, and my show is Community Garden Revolution. I'm sticking to that story. And we've got now the Executive Director, Diane Blazik, who is in charge of the All-America Selections. How are you, Miss Diane?
I'm doing great. Every day that spring is closer, I get better.
Isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth? Yeah, she's going to tell us just probably about 30 seconds or so about the uptick that she has seen with social media and how they've expanded that. And then we're going to talk tomatoes because, as I mentioned to you all and also to her, we've got KC Tomato, who is in the house, and he's going to tell us the stuff about tomatoes, which we all love. So, Miss Diane, how is it, because we're going through the same kind of phase, but you're probably way ahead of us, but we're trying to use more of the social media and, of course, the video stuff to, you know, show people, you know, what we're seeing, what folks have done, so they can grasp it that, hey, you know, I'm not the only community garden out there that's doing this, or maybe they are doing that, and I can do that too kind of thing. How is it that you find, by using social media, particularly videos, that it's really helped you all?
Well, with us, there's kind of twofold. With videos, we're doing cooking videos using AAS winners. And So, you know,
great.
There's so many different videos out there on cooking. So we thought we would jump on the bandwagon. And then along the same theme is with Facebook groups. The big thing now is if you have common interests, so, you know, maybe there's a community gardening Facebook group, or community gardening in a certain state could be a Facebook group. And that way you're sharing all of your common interests.
Oh, that's so cool. And we find that the technology is always changing, and to keep up with it, it's been a challenge, I'll tell you on my side. But it has been rewarding because we can reach more people.
Right, right. Yeah, you definitely
now,
can when you have a group of common interest.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Okay, yeah. We're going to be talking now about tomatoes because we've got KC Tomato that's in the house. I happened to see him on Twitter, and so I contacted him, and I hope I got this right. He lives in Missouri, but he has his fields in Kansas City. He said, I'm right here at the line. So he's in two states. So he's going to give us his views and ideas about tomatoes. What do you find about tomatoes? Because I think the Young Company, who has about 8 or 9 different catalogs, their Totally Tomatoes catalog is just absolutely awesome. Absolutely awesome.
It is.
So
yeah.
There must be a bigger market out there than what I'm aware of, but I know that that's a popular vegetable. We here in the Midwest, we're corn. Go ahead.
Yes, yes. And I would say that knowing a lot of the seed companies, mail order seed companies that I work with, and Jung is one of them, tomatoes mm-hmm. is the number one thing, number one crop that home growers, home gardeners start with. So, you know, it's always a tomato because when you grow a tomato, it's going to taste better than what you can buy in the supermarket. So tomatoes are the number one go-to product. And thankfully, you know, they're somewhat easy to grow, you know, as long as you know what you're doing and, you know, have certain expectations, then they're pretty easy to start from seed and, you know, wait until the weather's warm enough. Heaven forbid if you're in Chicago, don't buy a tomato plant today and go plant it. You have to wait until after the last frost.
I want to apologize that one day you guys got ready to have your 12 to 14 inches of snow. The first time we talked on radio, bottom line, I had a doctor's appointment afterward the show. I don't know if it was me or my mom. I can't remember. But the next show that we had, I had a doctor's appointment beforehand, and I hadn't had a chance to see the weather yet, although I knew that we were possibly getting ice. But I hadn't had a chance. So when you said something about the weather, I was like, maybe there's something going to be happening. And, of course, then all of a sudden that I looked at the weather, and I, oh, my goodness. And I hope that you all made it through the snow, and I would have been a lot more compassionate. But I didn't know anything. I apologize.
Yeah. Not a problem.
So I know you were worried.
Snow, but it's all gone. It's melted now, and everybody survived it.
Oh, my lands. Well, we have exceptional weather this week, so I don't know if we're getting snow next week, but we have exceptional weather this week. So a tip that someone gave me at Walgreens, believe it or not, one of the managers, he said get a tomato and then cut it twice and then put it inside the pot, which we did last year, but we did it late in the season, so it took about a month and a half for it to grow. And it finally grew, we think, one of the slices. We're not sure if it was all of them, but one of the slices. And I'm salivating right now. They were gorgeous. They were a good size tomato, and they were actually red. I couldn't believe it. They were actually red. So I don't know if you've heard of that tip or not, but they actually grew. So we're going to try that first right off of the season here. We're going to, as soon as we can find a good red tomato, we're going to go ahead and cut it and then put it inside there. And then, but it took us about a month and a half. We're a lower part of the Midwest. So what kind of good tips do you have about tomatoes? Or do you have any ideas of what's the trend?
Well, we see all kinds of entries here. And I think I've talked about trends before. The number one thing is disease resistance. So this is what the breeders are working on when they're producing hybrids. They want the home gardener to be successful. They don't want you to, you know, get some sort of disease on your tomatoes and lose all your plants halfway through the season, which can easily happen if they're not disease resistant. So that's the big thing. Of course, taste is the big thing. Unique colors, you know, we've got the indigo tomatoes like Midnight Snack, yellow tomatoes, we've got one called Chef's Choice Yellow. Patio Choice Yellow is like a little grape tomato or cherry tomato. Currant tomatoes, we've got one called Candyland Red. So the unique is always a great seller, but of course your basic red, like Celebrity, is always a good seller also.
Oh, the varieties that the young people have are just out of this world. I couldn't even believe there are so many tomatoes. With tomatoes, are you going to be doing a lot of videos or some videos on that too that they can see on your website, or what's going to happen there?
Absolutely. Yes, we do. I think 3 of the recipes that we have include tomatoes. So one is actually taking that current tomato, Candyland Red, that I mentioned, and roasting it with okra. So that's one recipe. Another one is a spicy tomato and cucumber salad. And then the other one is making not minestrone soup, but minestrone pasta. And it uses tomatoes in as well. And then we have a couple videos that are not from this year, but from last year. And they, let's see, I think 2 of those also use tomatoes. So there's a lot of them that are on our YouTube channel, and we're posting them as blog posts on our website.
Oh, my gosh. I would have reacted in between all that because they sound so yummy, but I hope that you get some sound bites from other people, see? So it's hard for me to sit here and go, I can't say anything. Oh, the sound, the one with the okra.
The
oh, my God. Huh?
I said that's a hard
what,
job
Diane?
As a host.
Oh, yeah. I enjoy it. I enjoy it. Anything to give people a platform for what we're all trying to do is create, you know, more food out there, more getting down to the basics and so on. And Ball had sent me some of their recent new products, and so I was telling people about that earlier part of the program. And I did see last night late, and you might have already heard this, the Bayer company is wanting to purchase Monsanto for $62 billion. And see, by going through Europe instead of their bases in Europe, so instead of going through an office in the United States, they don't have to go through all the rigmarole of whatever. And so the EU has already given them the good graces. So I haven't had a chance to read the news feed today and see how that's going or whatever, but that could possibly change things. And I talked to their new PR person last week because we're trying to initiate another interview with them. They're very cautious, particular people. I've already interviewed them about bees, and I can have Dr. Becky Langer on again at any time. But we're just, you know, it's going to be interesting because that's going to change the market again. It's all about
change
the seeds.
Change is constant, right?
Yeah, change is constant. That's right. I talked to a fertilizer company, and they're trying to get their thing out to help people, you know, grow more about fertilizing. So, but, yeah, well, we appreciate you here this week again, and people can look at their website and give us the QT there on the website, you know, where they can go to look at your information again.
AASwinners.com.
That is great. Well, you have a great week, and glad that the snow is not there in the Chicago area. We appreciate it here, down here in the southern Indiana, western Kentucky, southern western Illinois area. We appreciate it, too. So thank you, ma'am. We appreciate all that you do with the different hybrids and all the different plants, and, of course, the flowers, the gorgeous flowers that are out, and giving them your seal of approval. We appreciate all y'all do. And that's
thank
Diane
you.
Blasek, who's executive director, yes, ma'am, of the All America Selections. Now, we've got coming up here in just a few moments, we've got Casey is in the house. He's Casey Tomato. We're going to go ahead and find out what he knows about tomatoes and what he can give us for food tips. Community Garden Revolution. My name is Mary Huckel, and we've got Casey Tomato, who is in the house. I'm very excited because he is like a guru of tomatoes, and we're very excited that he's going to come on every so often and be like our guru for tomatoes. And he works on creating new tomato varieties and unique qualities, evidently. And he's in Missouri, but he's at the cross line there, the border there of Kansas, where his actual plants are. Keith, are you in the house there?
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, good afternoon. So, Keith, tell us, you know, how you got started in all this and why, and then tell us what are the best trends that you're seeing coming across this year for tomatoes.
Okay. About myself, I'm a lifelong gardener. I fell in love with it because of my grandparents. I've been working with tomatoes since 1993, roughly, but I've been growing them longer than that. I had had problems in the 80s in one of my gardens, and I couldn't figure out what it was. And when I finally diagnosed what it was, I was like, I should breed that out of tomatoes so I won't have that problem anymore, which was kind of a naive thought. But eventually I ended up going back to school, and I went to K-State and got a degree in hort therapy and community garden and working with vegetables. And when I was there, I bugged the breeder for a job, and I ended up working on melons and beans. And his background in grad school happened to be tomatoes, and he said, well, if you're going to do breeding work, you want to work with tomatoes. So I ended up going to NC State and working with a famous tomato breeder there. His name is Dr. Randy Gardner, and he produced a lot of tomatoes and that are widely used throughout particularly the eastern United States. It's the Mountain Series in particular. And they are a typical grocery store tomato. A lot of them were picked and gassed. And when I got there in 93, you know, I was like, well, where's the flavor? And when I was there, another professor introduced me to a guy named Craig Lahuier, who is NC Tomato Man, and he's written a couple of books. But he looks at the USDA stores of old tomatoes, at what we call heirlooms now. And I got introduced to him. He happened to live down the street from my wife's grandparents. But we hit it off, and he introduced me to a lot of things. It just became, well, why aren't I taking these things that the universities create with high disease resistance and putting it with these old heirlooms to create flavor? So that's kind of what got me started and doing what I do.
You mean that, okay, so I always thought, maybe I'm wrong, okay, so I always thought that if a tomato was fat, juicy, plumpy, red-looking, and looked so ripe that you hit it, that it wanted to spurt, you know, that kind of thing, that was the most flavorful time. So you mean that they actually can create, or there are certain ways that tomatoes grow that do create the flavor to it? Is that what happens?
Absolutely. Flavor is complex in the tomato, and I don't want to get overly scientific here. I don't know your listener base, but genetics is very important. You know, your breeding stock, your family, where you come from, have an influence. There are environmental factors, how much sunlight receives, how much heat it receives. That's why it's complex working with flavor, because year to year that changes. So you have to kind of look at things and go, is what I'm really seeing here a result of the genetics, or is it a result of just this environment? So you have to keep testing year to year. But you can significantly improve flavor. And what I've found, and others have backed up with research now, is when you make a hybrid, in corn they talk about hybrid vigor, the term is heterosis. So when you cross two parents and then the offspring creates this hybrid vigor, and in corn they particularly talk about yield. So the yield increases and you get this stronger, more vigorous plant. Well, you have heterosis for flavor in tomatoes and melons too, so that when you find the right parents and you cross them together, their offspring significantly better. It'll knock your socks off. You don't even have to think about it when you put it in your mouth. It's right away. It's like a wow. But that's a special condition. You have to look for that. You have to do a bunch of crosses and find where that is. And that's kind of what I'm interested in exploring. And I think some other people are starting to hit upon this. Dan Barber at the Stone Farms Inn in New York has recently started a seed company, and they're looking at this. See, I see value. I came background with produce and restaurants originally, and I see a value to chefs of like, hey, this is different. This is different than you've been getting out there. And so there's these other groups like the Culinary Breeding Network in the Pacific Northwest that are introducing chefs, farmers, and breeders together. So I get this material in the field, and I look at it as a breeder, and I go, hey, that's interesting, but, you know, it's not what I'm after. But if a chef sees that, they're like, maybe that's exactly what they want. Or they can look at it and go, that's something I can work with. Because, you know, we all get our mindsets But when you introduce different minds, you get a better result. So, like, I can create really sour tomatoes, and there's some people who want really sour tomatoes. But, you know, I need somebody to say, hey, that's something of value. Let's work with that. Let's take that forward. Because it does take quite a bit of resources and time to develop something.
Whenever it is that we go to a restaurant, let's go to the culinary part, and I see it more at a restaurant than I have when I purchase something during the wintertime, a tomato, let's say, from some other country. Why is it that when you cut into it, that it has that, maybe it's because it's been frozen, I don't know, it has that white, pinkish kind of look inside. It almost looks like we're eating a wax or a replica of a tomato. What is that about?
Well, part of that's the breeding. In the effort to create a market, year-round market, and to supply the market of fresh tomatoes, breeders have for years worked with firmness traits so that they don't crack, so that they ship well. But the other issue with a lot of fresh market tomatoes coming out of different parts of the South and Mexico in general, they tend to pick them green, and right before they start ripening, and then they stick them in chambers and they gas them with ethylene gas, and it gets them to ripen when they want them, so they can hold them longer for market shift changes, shipping changes, but it's not ripening fully on the vine, and it has the genetics inside of it that make for a firm fruit, which when they selected for that, they moved away from some of the flavor characteristics. So what I'm trying to do is introduce that flavor back into it. And it's tricky because, you know, people really do want a perfect round red tomato when they buy at the store. And the only thing that's changed that is farmers markets, because people are going, oh, there's these heirlooms and they taste really good. And they may not look so great on the outside, but, boy, they sure pack flavor. So there's kind of been a shift in thinking to get away from that. I have to have a perfect round red ripe. But the big companies, they've done studies, and, you know, people say they want something, you know, tasting better and stuff. But when it comes down to it, they put cameras on them and they don't know it. They're picking the round, ripe, perfect things from the store. But that's created the situation where the flavor is just really not there. But there are people working on it. There are people working on it in Florida.
Oh, Lance, I can't believe all the information you have. This is wonderful. Well, I've called you the right name, the guru of tomatoes. So I appreciate you being on today. I sure do. And we're going to get the opportunity to speak with him again at some point whenever he has the time. The door is always open because tomatoes, just like the people ahead of time when they heard that you were going to be on, she changed the subject from being about social media and videos. She said, that's our number one interest that people have is tomatoes. Can we talk and focus on that more instead? And I said, okay, sure.
There's a lot of interesting stuff coming. There's a lot of interesting stuff coming, and there's a lot of interesting stuff that hasn't been exploited or used, and that's what I've been trying to do. So you can see.
Well,
some of
we appreciate it. So whenever it is that you can come back on, you drop me a line because I've got to get ready to go, and drop me a line and say, "Hey, Mayor, I've got some time today, and we'll have back Casey Tomato here in the house." It's my honor and pleasure. I'm just enthralled by the information that you've got. That is so cool. So we are gracious for the opportunity to have. We've got to find you a sponsor so that for sure you could be on here anytime. So we appreciate and it has been my honor to talk about tomatoes with Casey Tomato with the All America Selections, and thank you to the Ball Corporation, the Jardin Home Brands, for sending me all these wonderful new jars that I got in the mail yesterday, as a matter of fact, so we could do it for our show. We appreciate that, and do look up on their website, www.freshpreserving.com, for their latest that they have as far as mason jars, and you're going to be just blown away. What an awesome day today. Well, thank you, folks, for listening to our show. It has been my honor and pleasure. You're listening to Community Garden Revolution. We're going to be back again next week. So this is Mary Hugo saying, have a great Community Garden Day.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.